Welcome and good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And grace and peace to us all, in the name of Christ our Lord. It is a gift, a blessing to share in this time of worship with you. I thank you for your presence and your attention to the bulletins as we have received them. Some information there that is very helpful, again, regarding the Sunday school class and the insert. I hope you will be attentive to that. And also to the Fall Faith and Faithfulness class that is upcoming. So that sounds very promising, and I hope you will be attentive to that learning opportunity as well. And you see some contact information regarding that class. Continuing to receive for the King and Queen Food Pantry. Also, not this coming Thursday, but a week from Thursday, will be the Administrative Council meeting at 7:30 following choir practice. Are there other announcements to share at this time? If not, I look forward to sharing again from the Gospel of Matthew. That is the Gospel that has remained before us in this year of worship. So I look forward to sharing again from chapter 14 about the experience of Jesus' encounter with his disciples as he walks on the water. Do we have an acolyte? I invite us to stand, our call to worship before us, and we will share responsibly. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works.
Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. And we remain standing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. This morning, as we go to God confessing our sin and trusting in the assurance of God's forgiveness, we share our prayer of confession responsibly. and I will begin. God is with you, Christ is present, the Holy Spirit surrounds you and unites us all.
But we have turned our eyes to the challenges of this life, lost our focus on God, and are seeking sin.
You can begin again. Imagine a new way of being.
We have cast aside our dreams to maintain the familiar. We have cast aside the dreams of others, fearful of what they might mean.
God loves you. Christ will lift you from the waves of doubt, and the Holy Spirit will rescue you from the currents of insecurity and alienation. In these moments of quiet reflection, confess to God all that separates you from God and one another. Take heart, do not be afraid. Everyone who calls upon God's name will be saved. We are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. It's nice to have a time of silence, isn't it? We go to God as we pray, and again, as we prepare for worship, with the choir, there are prayer concerns we share, and I would invite us as we are gathered here to lift up prayer concerns as well.
Baby Colin has pneumonia. Keep him in your prayers.
I know we remember Michelle's mother. And Phyllis' brother, Ernest. And there may be silent concerns we offer to God as we pray as well. Let us pray. Lord, we offer to you prayer spoken and unspoken. We remember that your Spirit prays for us in utterances too deep to understand. You call us to pray without ceasing, to ask, to seek, to knock. We remember and we approach you, assured that you will in no way turn us away. So we lift to you those concerns close to us, for those whom we love and those for whom we are concerned. We pray that they would find comfort knowing that we remember them to you. We give you thanks for this gift of prayer and pray that we would remember in a way every prayer as answered prayer, because what we desire is communion with you, and such communion we find as we come to you and pray. Lord, along with those concerns we know so intimately, so personally, we lift to you this world of yours, knowing that it is often so chaotic and troubled, conflicted and deadly. We pray, Lord, that you would work through us as your church to be an instrument of peace and healing. We pray again that your kingdom will come and that we will know peace and reconciliation with you and one another. We pray, Lord, we hear again your call to be a light to the world, a light in this community and beyond, witnessing to you and your presence and to trust that you are working your purpose out. Lord, we offer these prayers to you, praying that in your mercy, you hear our prayer. Amen. We welcome one another as we pass the peace of Christ. Peace. To stand now that we have seated. Sweet Hour of Prayer, number 496. Amen. Thank you, choir. From Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33, let us pray. Lord, breathe your Spirit upon us as we are gathered and as your word is proclaimed. May we truly be inspired and be drawn closer to you, to one another, as this community of faith. Amen. Then Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I believe I've shared with you before that Paula, my wife, and I have long enjoyed spending time at the water. We're more than happy to have lived near the Rappahannock for just over a year now. Part of this love for the water extends back to my first appointment in ministry. In 1986, I was appointed to two churches on Virginia's Northern Neck, where the Potomac runs into the Chesapeake Bay. A couple of years ago, it was a kick in the gut when I learned these two churches disaffiliated from the United Methodist Church. Nevertheless, having enjoyed our life during 4 years of ministry with these churches, having enjoyed time on the bay and on other nearby bodies of water, having enjoyed seafood and life in the country and living in the midst of a cornfield, it would remain our hope throughout my years of ministry finally to retire near the water. And thanks be to God, we did. And we've not been disappointed. Being a morning person, I awaken early each morning, as does our dog, Tanner. After Tanner eats, she takes me for my morning walk, which usually leads us to a small beach on the Rappahannock. The sun rising over the fringe of the river never gets old, is blessedly different each day. When she takes me for my afternoon walk, we may also find ourselves spending time by the river. And Paul and I try to take some beach chairs and spend time at the beach several evenings each week. But regardless of how much time we spend by the river, we find it is never enough. While I could grab my phone and take pictures and post them on social media, I fear what few friends I have there would quickly tire of it. Still, I have chosen to post some photos along with captions that carry significance for me. One still, cool morning this past January, I took a picture facing southeast. As someone who loves the visions of worship recorded by John in the book of Revelation, I quoted from this vision found in chapter 4 of his writing. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. One morning in late April, I took a picture of the calm river settled beneath a canopy of clouds. The caption, a verse from a spiritual beloved by me, perhaps by you as well. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way and who would wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Our younger daughter, Liz, visited recently. You may have met her and her fiance, Jan. Well, she and Jan would enjoy spending time at the river. And occasionally, in an irreverent moment of mine, upon her return from the river, I would ask Liz, "Did you see Jesus out there?" She didn't think it was funny either. We don't have the good fortune of Peter and other disciples of Jesus, those who saw Jesus walking on the river. Though it does appear there are those occasions when seeing Jesus is a frightening experience. Yes, we believe ourselves to be people of faith. Yes, we know ourselves to be a community of faith. Still, like Jesus, or like Peter and the disciples, we are no strangers to fear. I learned this early in my life before I became serious about matters of faith. The occasion was this. I was perhaps 11 or 12 years old, and I was good friends with a neighbor named Robbie Miller. Well, the youth group of the church Robbie attended was holding an all-night bowling party, and Robbie invited me to attend. I accepted his invitation. So this meant that I joined Robbie at Valley Lanes in Harrisonburg late one Friday night, and after spending the night eating junk food and rolling gutter balls, all of us were instructed to gather around so as to hear a message for the occasion delivered by leaders of Robbie's youth group. I remember years later, this particular message based upon Luke chapter 16. It is in this scripture, you recall, Jesus speaks of two men who die. One of these men goes to glory in Abraham's bosom. The other goes to Hades, a place of torment. Well, this scripture presented to us, the leaders of this youth group had us sit down. They instruct each of us to close our eyes. Again, this scripture from Luke, having just been read, fresh in our minds, one of the leaders says to us, "If you are sure that if you die tonight that you would go to heaven, I want you to raise your hand." Well, having dutifully, as instructed, closed my eyes, I don't know if Robbie or any other youth raised their hand. I confess I did not. I also confess this would not be the last time I would witness someone from the church employ fear so as to lead someone to faith. You see, even within this community of faith, we are never far from some experience of fear. We find ourselves again in another electoral campaign season, always a time in which some degree of anxiety, some degree of fear is manifest. Will my candidates win? What happens if the candidates from the other side win? Never far from some anxious, fearful speculation regarding whether or not We're in the end times. While traveling recently to Baltimore to see the Orioles play the Cubs, a relative of mine riding in the front seat turned to me in the back seat, "Do you think we're living in the end of times?" I said, "No." I'm not sure he's convinced. Throughout my ministry, I've always encountered some measure of fear regarding the state of the Christian church. Where are all the young people? The church used to be filled every Sunday. What happened? It would take little to add to this list of fears. Could make a list of such fears easily, quickly. Fear of those from distant lands. Fear about the future of Social Security. Fear regarding the growth of artificial intelligence. Fear of the future for our children, our grandchildren. Well, do we find any comfort in discovering we're not alone in this experience of fear? The scripture we just shared, yes, we refer to as the story of Jesus walking on the water. But did we notice how many expressions of fear we find in that scripture? When the disciples see Jesus walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. When Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. Fear, yes, peppering this story as fear laces throughout all of Scripture. Adam and Eve hiding in the garden from God because they're afraid. The shepherds watching over their flocks by night, told by angels, "Fear not." The response to the news of resurrection on Easter morning is in many ways a response of fear. The disciples of Jesus following his resurrection hide themselves for fear of the authorities. People of faith, yes, but no strangers to fear. But people who discover the opposite of fear is not faith, the opposite of fear is worship. Did you hear? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." At the end of it all, they worship. And it's not the first time that the writer of this gospel highlights for you and me the priority of and the urgency of worship. We remember that Matthew alone recalls for us following the birth of Jesus, the visit of the wise men. Matthew tells us when the wise men appear, they immediately ask, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Matthew continues, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him." And it's no casual, offhand, dismissive remark. It appears for Matthew a defining characteristic of those who follow Jesus is this discipline of worship. Matthew's account of Easter morning: "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Hail!' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Story's not over. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. Matthew has us know this is a matter of priority, a matter of urgency. Worship of Jesus is a matter life-saving and life-giving. You see, could it be that the opposite of fear is not faith, but worship? As I entered the back of the sanctuary that Sunday morning and found my seat behind the pulpit, I looked to my right and I saw her in her usual place. And while I expected to see her in worship practically every Sunday, I did not expect to see her that Sunday. Seeing her, I quickly turned my head to the left. I did not wish to begin to weep. You see, just 2 days before, on Friday, there had been held in that same sanctuary the funeral for her 17-year-old son. He had died suddenly, tragically, on Tuesday. Yet here she was in the same sanctuary, less than 48 hours removed from his funeral. How does a grieving mother do this? Does she not remember what took place in this sanctuary not even 2 days ago? Are the memories, the wounds, not too fresh? I mean, anyone would have understood on this particular Sunday, at least, if she were to stay home, try to care for herself, grieve privately. Perhaps she thought about that. But if she did, we see the choice she made. She awoke early, that is, if she slept. As she did every Sunday, she put on her Sunday clothing, drove to church, was handed a bulletin, spoke with, was greeted by friends, and found her place. For what reason? To worship. To hear the word of God. To sing the hymns of faith. To pray. To know the blessed company of others within this community of faith, to give, to confess, to affirm, to worship the one who rules over land and sea, like the disciples, to worship this Lord. I've wondered at times what answer this young mother would give me and which answer she would give others if we were to ask, how on earth did you find yourselves at church on that Sunday? I suspect her answer would sound something like this: where else on that occasion would you have me be? Was there someplace else at that time more important for me than that place? Then he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Amen. I will invite us to stand as we affirm our faith. Is it number 885? Okay. A modern affirmation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, and find strength and help in time of need. And the offering plate is before us. At this time, we're invited to worship God as we present to God his tithes and our offerings. Please be seated, and we go to God as we pray, and then pray together as Christ has taught us. Lord, by your Spirit, you continue to work in our lives so that we may believe. We even remember that voice from the Gospels telling us, Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. And in all circumstances, we see your hand extended toward us, the assurance that whether we rise or fall, you're always with us. Lord, we give you thanks for this gift of worship, remembering that even when we may not feel like it, even when we may find ourselves strongly tempted to be elsewhere, you call us to this place and you set a place before us and you know our name. And we thank you, Lord, that we are not here alone. You surround us with this community of those who pray for us, those who encourage us, those who affirm us, those who make your presence known, assuring us we will fear no evil, for you are with us. And Lord, we give you thanks that when our ancestors in faith approached you saying, Lord, teach us to pray, you taught them, speaking these words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We stand sharing our closing hymn, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. With us always. Go now in peace in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.